And I'm like, all right, boys, listen. There is no such thing. There's no such song titled Preacher Hooker Song, okay? It's just not good. But that was every day, like, the request. So it just brought me back. Anyway. All right, we're going to Ephesians chapter 6, and if you've been to Ephesians chapter 6, you know exactly where we're going, 6:11. Is there anybody in here who's got a good savings plan, financial savings plan? Anybody? Anybody's proud of that? Proud of it? I wrote next to this, no one's going to answer that question. Because you know we're right in the middle of a building fund next door, and we weren't going to be bragging on that savings account. All right, so is there anybody in here who's overly prepared for emergency? Prepared for an emergency? Anybody want, like, a storm? Is there anybody in here who got a storm shelter? Do you have a storm shelter, for real? What does it look like? What's it about? Yeah? Okay. All the Hugheses, all right. Well, you might want to make room for just like two or three more people I know of that really, really have a problem with storms and live in what they call worse than, what they say, would it be better for you to live in a ditch or be in a ditch than be in your home? That's what they say. I'm sorry. I'm on my way if there's a real bad storm. Or Melissa will be at least. All right, is there anybody in here got a plan in case there's a security threat in your home? You've got a police officer that lives in your house, correct? All right, so you've got a plan, right? Kinda.
I've got my own gun.
You have your own gun. All right. Is there anybody else in here that's female that has their own gun? All right. Remind me not to make any of you guys mad. This shouldn't be an open forum thing, but it's kind of leading into where I'm wanting to go. All right. Has anybody else got a plan in case you're attacked in your home or anything y'all want to break? We live in Flat Top Mountain. We live in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. I thought at this point somebody in this room would be like, man, I'll tell you what's going to happen if somebody walks in my house and doesn't belong there. But I guess y'all are so cool about it. I guess. My son, Peyton, who's not here tonight, but I believe with all my heart, I believe he's preparing for the day. I believe there will be a smile on his face, and it will give way. We could be in some litigation because it went on too long afterwards. It's a possibility. Is there anybody in here got any things in case of emergency? Band-aids, bandages, things like that? Is there anybody in your house that's got a medical issue you got to be prepared for it? Anybody? Couple, three back there. What do you got? Tell me what it is. Tell everybody what it is. Share it openly. You got it? You have to have it? You have some? Okay. Nitroglycerin? I don't know how I know that. Yeah. Okay. So, okay, let me ask the last question I wanted to ask before I got here. This message got put together 10 minutes before I come over here, and God had a better plan than me, I guess. Better plan than I have. Full-on preppers. Anybody in here a prepper? I see y'all back there looking at each other. You almost full-on prepper, almost? Like, okay. Do you got canned food at your house? Okay. What? Oh, you got MREs. Meals ready to eat. I hate to out y'all like this because I'm hoping it's such a low number crowd on Wednesday night that people won't remember when emergency hits, they won't be at your house eating your MREs or getting shot by the people in your house, okay? Right, okay. What's that? Something else? Okay. Yeah, because they're just chock full of everything, right? Okay, great. All right, so, all the questions other than the savings, the emergency, the storm, the security threat, the boundaries, the full-on preppers, right? When you're getting those stuff before, correct? Before the emergency, before the storm, before the attack, before the blood sugar drops, before, or raises, whatever it is, before the heart attack, right? You got the gun and the bullets and the preparation for what you're going to do with them before you have an intruder. Is that correct? You're doing that in a time when you're getting ready for it to happen. If it happens, you're going to do whatever it takes, right? All right, so that's the bandages. You got some sickness, whatever the case may be. Let's get into Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on. Underline that word right there, put on. When are we putting it on? Right? Put on the whole armor of God. Before. Right? I'm not going to give you some sophisticated, powerful, deep-thinking message tonight, but I'm going to be honest with you. I believe the Christian, the believer, the person who attends church needs to automatically start thinking, I am going to be under spiritual attack in my lifetime. Multiple times. So why do we not prepare for it? Why do we not think about it? Why do we not consider it every single day? Why do we not think, okay, if we are going to do certain things in this church, if we're going to reach the community, if we're going to see people saved, if people are going to join the church, we're going to attempt to build a building, we're attempting to do these things, we're going to celebrate these things, and we're going to let everybody know that we are doing these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think would happen if you had an enemy? An enemy says, I'm going to put an end to that, right? I'm going to put a full on end. I'm going to put an end to that real quick. And how do you think he's going to do that? He's going to do it in so many different ways, but the only way it's going to be effective is he's going to attack the people in this church. And if we do not put on in the right time, then we will be hit sideways and we'll be out of control and looking and grasping and trying to figure out what to do when we're already being attacked. If you've got a response medically, if you're sitting there going, man, I'm getting sick right now, but I don't have any medicine, right? Oh, I've got cut so bad, but I don't have anything to put on it. But if you go, all right, look, I've been practicing this. I know where, when I got cut, I walk right over there to that cabinet. Everybody in this family knows that thing's right there. Slap it on there, tape it up, and ready to go, right? That's preparation. Spiritually, we don't prepare that way. I think we get neglective. I believe we neglect our spiritual warfare. I believe we neglect this Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, and we wait almost like, all right, we're under attack. Something crazy's happened in our life. We're emotionally, physically, mentally, and especially it was that spiritual thing. It's just we're down. We're down for the count. We've been hit. And we're sitting there going, oh my gosh, I feel like this is my whole life for the last, probably about the last 48 to 72 hours is, oh, I can't believe this. I can't believe this is going. I can't wonder why. How's that happening? Wonder, have you been there? Have you been there in the last 6 months? Have you been there in the last year? Definitely as Christians, we've been there before, right? But we shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be that way. We should be expecting. We should be like Israel. Do you know in Israel, those people never take a day off. Their soldiers walk the streets. There's bomb shelters in every store, bomb shelters in every business of operation, and they walk around with fully automatic weapons. There's automatic weapons hanging on the wall for certain people to use that are skilled in using them. You know why? Because they know their enemies could attack at any moment. And they don't want to sit there and go, I can't believe it. We're surrounded by everybody that hates us, but we're being attacked. We're believers in Jesus Christ. So we got to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You might want to read your Bible every once in a while about that right there. The wiles, that means he doesn't fight clean. He doesn't fight the way you think he should. He doesn't use tactics that you would use. He don't hit you and then go, oh, that's enough. He has come to steal, he has come to kill, and he has come to destroy. He is a liar. He is the father of all lies. I was reading and studying that out. It says when he lies, he's speaking his native language. His native language is lies. So I'm sitting there thinking, if I'm in the fight of the devil, some of y'all might want to write this down. I'm going to help you right here tonight. More than anything, it's going to help you in a long time in this church. If you are under spiritual attack, Write this down. The first thing you need to understand that you are in a communication warfare. And the person that's bringing all the communication to you is a liar. You're being deceived. You're being lied to. So everything, every bit of information you get from the enemy while you're under spiritual attack, you should already make up your mind, I'm doing opposite. Can't go to, here's the first few. Can't pray. What are you going to do? I'm going to be honest with you. We're sitting here, it's easy. This is easy. This right here, Wednesday night, easy. I can preach this in here, tell you, every one of you, in my own actions too, in my own life, tell you this. Prayer. He's going to attack you in prayer. You instead of not praying, you need to pray even more. That's easy in this room to say. My gosh, let the devil just rail on you. Let him come in on one of your kids. Let him come in on your wife or your husband or somebody's close to you and just turn your whole world upside down. And then all of a sudden you're sitting there and the last thing you feel like doing, I'm being honest with you, the last thing you feel like doing is what? Talking to God. Who you want to talk to? Everybody but God, seemingly. Right? Everybody but God. You want to talk to your Christian friends? You want to talk to somebody even in the world? We want to talk to everybody, but something in our flesh says, we can't go to God right now because we're under spiritual attack. The devil, I mean, that's his full-on, you better not talk to God. You don't have any resources there, but that's the only resources we do have. That's the only resources we do have. Can I stop right here a minute? Can I stop right here and give you a little bit of breaking news? Can I give you that breaking news? What if somebody you love is under spiritual attack? And you're telling everybody else about what you think and what you do and how you operate, but you're not praying either. Here's what we need to do. Here's what they need to do. Here's what I would have done. Heaven should be getting bombarded with a signal straight from every person they know it's a believer. I almost feel like calling some people and apologizing and saying, I'm sorry that I'm wearing you out with my ideas and my thoughts when I have no clue what's going to fix you or what's going to make you whole. I should be getting hold of the Savior, the one who's made you and created you and makes you do everything you do. Maybe I should call Him and see if He'll get involved on our behalf. Man, it's amazing. Instead of a chain of people calling each other and telling each other what's going on, why don't we all get together and say, meet at the church at 6 and let's pray. But we'll only do that if somebody's dying. We'll only do that if somebody's laying down at the hospital and they got a matter of moments. We'll come in here and ask God, will you send out an SOS? We should have done it when we heard. We should have heard it when he should have heard from us when he said, hey, a friend of ours is going down to the hospital. He's going to a doctor's report. That's when we should have been on attack to the Lord. We should have been telling him, hey, we love this person. We want him healed. But if we see somebody going under, and here we are, I'm being honest with you, sometimes we don't get to afford the fact that everybody's going to do the right thing. We need to practice. We need to practice. We need to practice when everything's going good. I might not get this message out the way it needs to be out, other than I just feel like the Spirit of God just hit me with a hammer today. Maybe we need to practice this when everything's going good and we ain't got nothing to say. We don't even know how. We'd have to make up things to pray about. Maybe we should discipline ourselves to go into our prayer closets or prayer rooms or go outside or wherever it is you pray and just start talking to God and just saying, God, Charlie, what if it's just like, hey, God, this is a prayer test. Remember that back in the day when they used to do those little tests? This is a test of the so-and-so system. And remember that? Does anybody remember? Anybody old enough for that? Well, praise God. Listen, every time, you know what they were doing? They were doing that in case there was ever some situation and they send out that signal. You'd say, that's not a test. Maybe we need to do this. Hey, God, I'm not real good at this, and I'm trying to make some stuff up, but I'm just sending you a signal to let you know if I ever get in an emergency where I'm really needing to talk to you, I'm just practicing. But you know, God's better than that. Because if you get in there and start talking to Him like that, He might send a message back. And the next thing you know, I've done this so many times, I can't believe it. I'll go to the restaurant with somebody. It don't happen all the time. I'm not spiritually bragging here. I'm just telling you, I've been to a restaurant before, and someone said, "Will you pray?" And then all of a sudden, I go in and open the line of communication, and 5 minutes later, I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I got in the spirit of prayer. I opened up a line of communication in the glory, and God was on the other line, and He wanted to talk back." So we got to eat that food. It's going to be good for a long time. Amen? It's going to have a shelf life forever. You understand what I'm saying? We got to start preparing. We got to start being ready. We can't be standing around flat-footed going, "I can't believe my brother or my sister is under attack by the Lord." We need to be able to say, "Take up arms. Put on the whole armor of God. Let's go. Let's go to war. Let's get on. Man, let's get on the communication. Let's get to God. Let's get on it." And if nobody else does, you go in that place and you shut the door and you say, can I preach this the way it's supposed to be preached? Do you know what Job did? I know everybody when I do that. I know what it feels. I couldn't be Job. Don't want to be Job. I don't care. I don't either. But I'm going to be honest with you. He gave us a blueprint on how to do it. He got up every single day and slew 10 of his best. Slew his best animals every single day. You know what? He was doing well. All 10 children blessed. Family blessed. Got up every day, sacrificed his very best. And you know what he said it was for? Just in case they ever get out of control and they don't call on the Lord, I'm calling on their behalf. But he didn't know he was doing something else. One day when God took all of his sacrifice away, he took every animal that he had. He had no way of corresponding with God by sacrifice. He couldn't sacrifice to get righteous enough to talk to God. So you know what he did? Y'all have read this before. You already know it. When he was at his sickest, with the most loss, he went out there and he got in the ashes. The ashes of what? His old sacrifices. You know what he was saying? "I love you. I was calling on you before the emergency because I knew emergency was possible." We've got a blueprint. We've got a Bible chock full of information. And we sit around and act like if something happens to us as Christians, what? We're supposed to be living our blessed, highly favored lives with only prosperity ahead, and then we walk right into glory, no problem. That's not it. We're supposed to take up our cross. We're supposed to share the gospel. And when we do, we're supposed to expect to be attacked by the enemy. We should be sitting there going, "It could come at any time." And when it does, we're going to have to fight fire with our spiritual fire. For we wrestle, golly bum. I don't even know where I am in the dichotomy of this message. I guarantee you, somebody who went to seminary would listen to this and go, "You are awful." And I would agree with them. But I'm getting some help out of it, so it doesn't matter, does it? For we wrestle, watch this, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen, guys, I don't know where you've been in your life, but if you've never been in a good wrestling match, you probably don't have an older brother or a younger sister. Amen? Wrestling is not fighting. Wrestling is you're trying to breathe, right? The person that's wrestling you and the person you're trying to wrestle is the ultimate goal is to get you to submit. Right? Golly, y'all better hear what I'm saying. Their ultimate goal is either to choke you unconscious or to break something where you go, "That's enough. I'm broke." Are you hearing me? I'm preaching right here better than you can let on. I'm telling you right now, I'm giving you a word. That is what the devil, all he wants you to do is submit. All he wants you to do is submit to what I want you to do. Quit doing what God wants you to do and do what I want. And what I want you to do is I want you to flat out quit. I want you to quit. You better understand we're in a wrestling match. And a wrestling match ain't pretty. And sometimes, goodness gracious, you can't tell sometimes in a wrestling match who's winning. And I guarantee you, sometimes in a wrestling match, the story gets turned upside down too. Where did it start? Why did it start? How did it start? If you're not careful, you'll get in a wrestling match, a spiritual wrestling match with Satan, and the next thing you know, the people you thought loved you and cared for you and had your back will be sitting there going, what did he do wrong? What did she do wrong that they're in such a bad wrestling match? I'm here to tell you, you better write this stuff down. You ain't ever going to get in trouble like you'll get in trouble for serving Jesus. Amen? I don't worry about the people who are having a wrestling match with the devil. I'm worried about the people who ain't. I'm worried about the people who are sitting there and going, we're living our best life. We're doing great. We're growing. We're doing. And there ain't nothing in our way. Well, guess what? Why does the devil not care about that? Why does the devil not care that you're going through that? Why does the devil not want to invade and stop that if it's so prosperous and so good? So I look around sometimes and say, man, you better, you know what the devil's told me the last 48 hours? You better do better as a preacher or the devil's going to keep wreaking havoc in your church. He's going to break up families. He's going to destroy lives and he's going to do this. And it's all because you're not doing this or you're not doing that. You know what I said? I must be doing something right because you're a big liar. Amen? Now don't get this twisted. Don't leave here all appreciative. Listen, there's plenty of things I can do better. There's plenty of things I want to do better. There's things I'm working on. There's things I'm praying on. God has got a, He's got me in the workshop all the time on me personally. I'm not saying that, but you know what? When it's coming under a spiritual attack, I've got to listen to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God says, keep going. Keep driving on. You're making them mad. You're turning the stuff upside down. It wasn't supposed to be turned upside down. Keep pressing. Y'all are going to do it. Wait, you know what? One day the devil does not want this new building to be open. He does not. But one day we're going to walk through those doors and we're going to worship in there. And you know what? In this community, the whole community, even down in the valleys, will go, whoa. They're going to come. They're going to come in there and go, wow, I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they made it. But what he wants us to do is submit, quit, and give up. Don't do it. Don't follow through. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This ain't just down at the level. We're wrestling this at the very top of this world. There are things happening at the very top of this world that the enemy almost thinks he's winning. But I've read the end of this book. God says, I step out of the eastern sky, call my church home. We have a party for 1,000 years, and then I come back and I make a new new Jerusalem. Praise God. He comes and sets down his rulership on both places. My God. Don't for one moment think that the enemy wins. Everything, when it gets the darkest and the hardest and the baddest, God's sitting there going, I am still God. Just don't quit. Don't give up. Stand, therefore, having, what's this right here? Let's go back and get 13. I missed it. Thought. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand up. Stand up. I mean, listen, there are no place in Christianity for us to sit down and be comfortable. Stand up and serve in your place. It reminds me of Nehemiah. If you'll ever read the book of Nehemiah, it's one of those beautiful books in the Bible. When they wanted to build something for God, when they built the temple and the city back, you know what they did? They stood in front of their own places. They stood, one would have a sword on his hip, and one another would have a sword on his hip, another would have a hammer, the other one have a hammer, and for half and half, they would do. One half of the family would stand there with a sword, and one half of the family would stand there with a hammer. One would stand there with a sword, and the other would stand there with a hammer. And you know what they did? They built right in front of their own homes. You know why? You know why Nehemiah did that? Because, praise God, your wall will be built great if that's what you're going to depend on to keep the enemy out. Amen. Praise God, I'm telling you, we need to learn how to build a fortress around our families and around our homes, around our church. We need to say, you know what? I'm not letting the enemy come in on my breach. I'm going to stand my watch right here, right here. I will stand in the gap and be somebody that can be accounted for. Verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth. That's, hey, listen, the truth, I love it when it says where it puts it. Girt with the truth, that means it's right around the place of your midsection. It's also your replication area. Guess what? Truth begets truth begets truth begets truth. Operating in the truth. I don't, feelings, emotions, lies, stories, truth upon truth upon truth. If you tell the truth, it will set you free. If you tell the truth, there don't have to be anything else to support it. It will stand alone. Amen. And for a long time, you can be looking like a fool, but in the end, the truth will stand. I love that right there. Have your loins girt with the truth. Having the breastplate of righteousness. Praise God. That's up on the front. That's who you're representing, Jesus Christ. You're representing heaven. You're a representative. You're an ambassador for Christ. When we went into places, there was two names on the front of our uniforms in the Marine Corps. One of them was my name, Shelton. I tried to represent that name. Didn't do as great as I wanted to. But the other one was United States Marine Corps. We've got a different name. We represent heaven. We're representing Jesus Christ now. So guess what? We need to be above reproach. We need to stand tall and say, look, I'm going to choose righteousness. I had no righteousness until Jesus gave it to me, but since I do, I have the ability to choose it. I have the ability, if you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you have the ability to choose righteousness. Choose it. And you can do the right thing or the wrong thing, but you have the right and the ability to choose right. Do right every single time. You can. And if you don't, choose to repent quickly. Amen. That's a whole nother message. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel should send you. It should send. The gospel should be the shoes that send us, the cleats that we wear, it should send us down the road. The gospel should push you in every direction. Let me share this with a Wednesday night crowd. If you get passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ, God will move you around the board. He will move you around and put you in front of people. It's just who he is. He can't help it. If he finds out that you're going to be an agent who's going to share the gospel, he will move you and put you in front of people all day long, every day. And you'll sit there and go, well, I can't because of this. It won't even come up. Every place I've worked, every person I've had an encounter with, when I was sharing the gospel, God would put me in places with people. The most uncomfortable place, I always share it this way, is the men's bathroom at plant number 3. Golly, that was embarrassing. Standing there, you know, at the bathroom, the guy about to go out the door comes back, goes, I really need to talk to you. I said, can we have any other moment in time that we can talk? I said, I'll talk to you anywhere, anytime you want to. But this is just where, he goes, I can't talk to you anywhere else, but everybody thinks I'm this or that. I'm lost and undone. And I'm scared out of my mind. And you're the only thing that resembles Christians I've ever seen. Well, I said, I guess we're talking in the bathroom now. Yeah, all right? I guess we're talking in the bathroom now. That's what we're doing. So, hey, guess what? God does that. He is an operator. He is a feet mover for his gospel. Above all things, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Guys, God spoke this into my spirit today. It's not no big revelation. It says, God says, this is a spirit of testing. This is a time of testing of your faith. This is going to be a time of testing in our faith. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice, and if you hear this on recording, this is a time of our testing. This is not a time to fold, make changes, or quit. This is a time to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, what he's called me to do, and I'm going to stand firm until I hear the next command. You hear what I'm saying? I'm being honest with you, because the devil is going to try to do things to move you away from family, friends, church, community, whatever it is, he is going to try everything in his power to shake your faith and to move you. And it's going to sound good. So how do you beat that? I'll get into that in a minute. Above all, we did that, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation, I love this, it's on your brain, covers your, the most sensitive part of a soldier or anybody in the military is your brain housing group. Amen. You get shot here, it's over, right? Anywhere else, you'll be all right. Up here, that way you keep your helmet on, you keep your mind right and protected. This is your biggest battlefield. Everybody in this room knows that. Your biggest battlefield is right here between your ears. This is the hardest thing to deal with as a believer or as a person, period. Amen. So you've got to filter everything through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give this to you, and I know it's simple, and I don't believe me, this is God wrote it. Told me to write it down this way. When do we put it on? Early, right? How do we put it on? Repetitively. You know what I was talking about earlier? All the armor that we've got right here, all that armor. You know what we do in the military a lot of times? We would have drills. they would do pretend things like the enemy's attacking right now. You got 6 minutes to get to your post. You got 3 minutes to get to this post. You got 2 minutes to stand up on this post. Somebody's got to be standing outside in 1 minute. This is a code red situation. There is an imminent threat. You don't have time to put anything on, but you better have your weapon. You better be on your post. You got 1 minute and 30 seconds. Otherwise, we're in danger. And they did that all the time. You would go to bed, 6 hour shift, 6 hours on, 6 hours off, 6 hours on, 6 hours off. And then somewhere in between that, alarm goes off. Be on your way. I'm talking about you are so delirious. I've slammed my finger in doors. I've slammed my finger in weapons. I've had my head hit and kicked by people jumping out of the bed and turn around and kick you. Don't even know you're standing there. I stood there on a post watching nothing, 2 o'clock in the morning. Blood running off my face, my hands, and everything. But you know what? Guess where I am? Because you know what? I didn't know if it was real or not. So what we're going to do, we're going to repetitively go to prayer. Repetitively work on our mindset of how Christ is. We're going to pray. We're going to filter everything through Christ. We're going to read, study, pray. We're going to show up. We're going to be a part of God's calling and plan in our life. We're going to do it repetitively. Put it on where? Everywhere. Everywhere. We're going to put it on, and we're going to let people know this is who I am. This is who I am. We're not just going to say, well, I'm a Christian on Sunday. That's what God really spoke in my heart. You know what? We have a lot of people that struggle in our church and our ministry because they've got a Sunday mentality. They come here on Sunday. They worship for 30 to 40 minutes, maybe an hour to 2 hours, and we don't see them again. And they come in here, and their life and their world is upside down and backwards, and they're going, how do I get help? And you're like, you don't know how to put on the armor. Matter of fact, if you be honest right now, you don't even know where the armor is. You don't even know. Can you give me some scriptures? You should have had some. Can you pray for me? Yeah, you should be praying for yourself too. Amen? I'm not being mean. I'm just being, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I know this sounds harsh in this room right now, what I'm saying, but let me tell you this to be honest with you. Praise God, I guarantee you in Israel or anywhere else where there's an imminent threat, I guarantee you those people don't speak nicely. They say, where's your helmet? Where's your weapon? Where's your bullets? Where's your stuff? Where's your boots? Where are they? You're supposed to keep up with this stuff because it's for your own benefit. And then it's for the group, for the community as well, but it's for your own benefit. Where are you going? We're going to put it on everywhere. If there's a Bible study, if there's a prayer group, if there's a service place to be plugged in, I'm plugging in. I'm getting plugged in to everywhere I need to plug in my capability that God wants me to be a part of. I'm in. Because guess what? It's easy to pull somebody down that's got a small, small connection to something. Praise God, you put on what? Put on what? That whole armor. Every bit of it's important. You can't just have some of it. Guys, I hate to tell you this, and I'm probably telling on myself as a preacher somewhat. Well, I read my Bible, but I don't pray. I pray, but I don't read my Bible. I pray and read my Bible, but I don't attend church or I'm not connected in the church. I pray and read my Bible, but I'm not connected with anybody in the church. I don't do anything with connection group. I don't go out into the community. I don't seek any way of helping anybody. Listen, I'm in the church. I read my Bible. I pray, but I'm mad at everybody in the church, and everything's not going my way, and I'm kind of bitter, and I tell people, I murmur, and I complain, and do all these things. Praise God. Listen, we got to stop all that. We got to get down to the fact that we're training all the time for a spiritual attack. Because a spiritual attack is going to happen. Guys, you're sitting here. I'm telling you, you're sitting in this church right here. And I don't know what most of you are going through. But before you got home tonight, your whole world could be upside down. And you could be sitting here going, man, I need a scripture for that. I need a verse for that. I need a prayer for that. What would I do in case of this? Amen? But ultimately, I want y'all to get to that mind frame too. If the enemy's telling you to do something, you better stop and do everything. If praise God, if he says, don't you go back to that church, it will be uncomfortable if you go back up to that church. Make everybody in here uncomfortable. If it makes the enemy mad, you walk right up in here and sit down and you say, I don't care. I need to be here. Everybody in here can be uncomfortable. Me being here, I'm here because I need to get a hold of Jesus. If he tells you not to say a word, don't pray. Don't pray. Don't you pray. Praise God, I swear. Just open your mouth and say, God, help me. If he says, give up, quit, don't turn around, you know what you do? Don't give up, don't quit, don't turn around. And so, I'm serious. Because the enemy, he will say, end it all, stop, don't go back, don't listen to the ones that help you the most. Praise God, I'm going to tell you, we're going to come under spiritual attack. Some of us are already under it. Some of us are already in it. Some of us are hearing about it. I feel bad as a pastor because I've talked about what I would do, and I need to be talking to God more about what to do. I need to be saying, God, I don't know. I don't have the answers. You're the only one that can get between their ears and in their heart. You're the only one that can fix a situation. If you can fix the heart of a man who is lost and undone and walking in the wrong direction, you can fix the heart of somebody who's just going down the wrong choices right now. Amen? And we don't have enemies. This church, we don't have enemies. We don't. We don't have anybody in this community that we're enemies with. We're wrestling against the devil and principalities and our powers. We're rescuing people. Amen? Sometimes you got to love the people that are doing the craziest stuff. You got to pray for them and love them and try to encourage them to do the right thing. Amen? Does that make sense? Guys, this ain't just about somebody else. This is about everybody in this room. You're going to do it. You're going to go through it. People are going to die in your life. And then you know who's going to show up at the funeral? The enemy. He's going to say stuff. He healed everybody else. So-and-so lived. They didn't live. Why? You don't need to go back to church. You don't need to be around the church. You don't need to believe like you did. You don't have faith like you did. You got to make up your mind today, not tomorrow. Not in that situation. Let's all stand. I know this has been...